Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the 15th chapter of Hilchos Issurei Biyah. In this Perek, the Rambam will discuss the concept of a mamzer, somebody who is born from specific types of forbidden relations. Halacha Aleph, is a mamzer hamar b'Torah? Who is the person defined as a mamzer that is stated in the Torah? Zeh haba me'erva min ha'arayos. This is somebody who is born from a forbidden relationship which qualifies as an erva. Chutz min ha'nida, sha'bein mimena pagum bein ha'mamzer. This excludes one of the arayos, which is a nida, if somebody sleeps with his wife while she is a menstruant. The child born from such a relationship is considered flawed, blemished, but is not quite a mamzer. Aval haba al shar arayos, bein b'onis, bein b'ratzon, bein b'zadon, bein b'shkaga, havlad mamzer. However, if somebody has relations with any of the other ervas mentioned in the Torah, whether this was done willfully or not, whether this was done knowing that it was wrong or not, then the child born will be a mamzer. Ve'echad zechar, ve'echad nekevos, asurin le'olam. Shne'emar, gam dor asiri, klomar le'olam. And a mamzer, whether boy or girl, is forbidden to marry into the rest of the Jewish community forever. The pasuk says, even the 10th generation, which is just a way of explaining that it means forever. Halacha beis, echad mamzer shenasa yisraelis, o yisraeli shenasa mamzeres, kevan shebalu achar kiddushin, lokin. Whether it is the boy or the girl in the relationship who is a mamzer, once they've had relations after a betrothal, then they receive Torah-ordained lashes. Kidesh v'lo baal, ain't a loka. If they were merely betrothed but did not have relations, then they don't receive lashes. Baal v'lo kidesh, ain't a loka. Similarly, if they have relations but had not had a betrothal, then they do not get lashes either. Mishum mamzeris, because of the prohibition of violating sleeping with a mamzer. She'ein lecha b'chol chavi lavin, misha loka al b'ila b'lo kidushin, ele kohen gadol ba'amana, k'moshes bar. Because out of all the different forbidden relationships, which can make one liable for receiving lashes, the only one which one will receive lashes for by having had relations, even though there was no betrothal, is when a Kohen Gadol sleeps with a woman who was a widow, as the Rambam will explain upcoming. Hamachzer grushaso mishin niseis avlad kasher sharei ena erva. If one remarries his divorcee after she had been remarried in between, so then any child that he has from this now forbidden relationship is not a mamzer because she is not an erva. Halacha Gimel. Oved Kochavim ve'Eved Haba Abbas Yisrael Havlad Kasher Bein Pnuya Bein Beishas Ish Bein Be'ones Bein Beratzo. If a non-Jew or a slave has relations with a Jewish woman, the child born from such a relationship is a valid regular member of Klal Yisrael, whether she had been single or even if she was a married woman, whether she had done so willingly or under duress. Oved Kochavim ve'Eved Haba Mamzeres Havlad Mamzer. If a non-Jew or a slave has relations with a Jewish woman who is defined as a Mamzeres, then in that case, the child born will be a mamzer. Umamzer habal obe kochavim havlad akum. If a Jewish mamzer, who is a man, has relations with a non-Jewish person, so then in that case, the child born from that non-Jewish woman will be a non-Jew. Nisgayer, harihu kasher kishargir. If that non-Jewish child born from the mamzer and this non-Jewish woman eventually converts, in that case, they are a regular member of Klal Yisrael, just like any other convert. Imbal shivcha havlad evet. And if a mamzer has relations with a maidservant, the child born is a slave. Shechoraro havlad kasher, kishar avada mishechorar, umotr b'as Yisrael. If that born child from this relationship of the mamzer and the shivcha is ultimately freed, in that case they are a regular member of Klal Yisrael as well, just like any other freed slave, is allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. Halacha dalet. Zeakla. Vein haba min ha'eved, o min ha'ovei kuchapim, o min ha'shivcha, o min bas akum, harei hu k'imo, ve'im ha'shkichin ala av. This is the general principle. When a child is born either from a slave or from a non-Jew or from a slave woman or from a non-Jewish woman, in that circumstance, the child's status will follow after the mother and we totally disregard the father. Accordingly, Chazal gave permission to a mamzer to marry a slave woman in order to thereby purify his children, to remove the status of mamzeres from his children, because ultimately they'll be born as slaves, he can free them, and they'll be regular members of Klal Yisrael. And accordingly, they did not create any enactment against sleeping with a maidservant, as they had done for a regular member of Klal Yisrael, for a mamzer, because this would enable him to one day make his sons be regular. Halacha hei. If a person is a half slave and half free man, and he has relations with a woman who was married. So a child born of that relationship has no way of fixing himself, because in that circumstance, he has an element of being a Malamzer, he has an element of being a regular Jew, and they are mixed together. Accordingly, he is unable to have relations with a regular maidservant, because the side of him that's a regular Jew is forbidden to have a relationship with a maidservant, and therefore his children will be just like him forever. If a non-Jew has relations with a maidservant who had immersed for the purpose of being a maidservant, i.e. she's owned by a Jew, in that circumstance, the child born will be a slave. And a slave who has relations with a non-Jewish woman, so in that circumstance, the child who will be born will be a non-Jew. You go after the mother. However, if you have a circumstance where a non-Jew has relations with a non-Jewish slave woman, or a slave of a non-Jew has relations with a regular non-Jewish woman, in that case, then you go after the father. With regards to non-Jews, you follow the father. Mamzer mutter lisa gioras. A mamzer is permitted to marry a Jewish convert. V'chein ha-mamzeres muteres l'ger. And similarly, a Jewish woman, mamzeres, is permitted to marry a man who's a convert. V'abanim mishneim mamzerim she'avlad holich achar pogam. Sh'ne'emar b'kal Hashem, u'kal ger enu kore kal Hashem. Now, the reason why this is allowed is because the Pasuk says that a Mamzer is not allowed to join the community of God, and the community of converts doesn't quite follow that same definition of a Kal Hashem. And in this circumstance, when they have children born to them, the child will go after the one who has the lesser status, and in this circumstance, that means the child will be a Mamzer. L'chachas, Giorishin is Hisliger, Olidu Bain. If there was a woman who had converted, who had married a man who had converted, and they gave birth to a son, even though this child was both conceived and born in a state of being a Jew, nonetheless, he is still permitted to marry a woman who is a mamzeres. And so too with his son and his son's son, and so on and so forth, until the name of being a convert has desisted from him. People don't remember that he's from a family of converts, and in that circumstance, then he becomes forbidden to marry a mamzeres. And this applies equally to people that are actual regular converts and those who had been slaves and had been freed. Halacha tes: ger shenasa bas Yisrael or Yisrael shenasa gioras havlad Yisrael l'chol davar v'asr mamzeres. If one of the two parents was not a convert, though, and was a regular member of Klal Yisrael, then a child born from that union is a regular member of Klal Yisrael as well, and is forbidden to marry a mamzer. Halacha yud. Shlosh mamzerim hein. There are three different types of mamzerim. Mamzer vadai, umamzer safek, umamzer midivrei sofrim. Those that are certainly a mamzer, those who it's a case of doubt, and those who are a mamzer on a rabbinic level. Eidel mamzer vadai. What qualifies somebody who is certainly a mamzer? That's somebody who was born from a union of a erva relationship, which the Rambam has already explained. Umamzer safek, what's a case of doubt by a mamzer? Zeshabam is fake erva. This is when somebody is born from a relationship which might have been an erva. Kagon habal ishashin is kacha safek kedushin, oniskarsha safek kirushin, ugiot ben. That would be, for example, if somebody had slept with a woman who was potentially an erva, such as if he slept with a woman who might have had a betrothal take effect on her, or who might have been divorced, and therefore they are a case of doubt when they are born as a potential mamzer. Midivrei sofrim, what's this third category of one, which is a rabbinic mamzer? Kagona isha sheshama shemeis baila v'neseis harei baila kayam uba baila harishon aleha v'hi tachas hasheni harei abein mamzer midivrei sofrim. For example, a woman who had heard that her husband had died and therefore had remarried, and then afterwards it turned out that her husband was still alive. When the first husband returns, Chazal had forbade him from remaining married with his wife, and therefore if he has a child with her at any later point now, then that child is considered a mamzer on a rabbinic level. Lach Yud Aleph. Pnuy Hashin is Avra B'Znos. Amr La Mahu Ha'Uber Hazeh. O HaYolad Hazeh. Im Amra Bein Kasher Hu L'Yisrael Nivalti. Harizu Ne'menes Va Bein Kasher. Va'av Al Pisha Rova Yer Shizin Zabah Psulam. if there was a woman who was not married, who had relations and became pregnant outside of the context of marriage, and they ask her, what's the status of this child? And she responds that the child is a regular good member of Klal Yisrael, had relations with a regular member of Klal Yisrael. In that case, she's believed, and the child is considered a valid member of Klal Yisrael, even though most of the people in the city that she had relations in are considered people who do not have good lineage. Halacha Yud Beis. Vim lo nivdaka imo ad shemesa o shayas achireshes o ilemes o shota o shamram leploni hamams rinavalti o leploni hanasin afilu oso ploni moda shumi menu harizeh hayalad safik mamzer. If we did not have a chance to check out what the mother would say this child was until after she had died, or she was a deaf mute, or she was just mute, or she was somebody who wasn't mentally competent, or she said, I had relations with this particular mamzer, or this particular nesin, even though that same individual admits that he had indeed sired this child through her, the child is only a suffic mamzer. Because just as she had admitted that she had relations with this one who she claims she had conceived this child from, it's also possible she had relations with somebody else once we see that she's a licentious woman and we can't assume that it was from this man. This is one we refer to as a shtuki, somebody who recognizes his mother. We know for sure who his mother is, but we don't know with certainty who the father is. Halacha Yud Gimel. V'chena ben hanimza bashuk, hu hanikra asufi, hayu safek mamzer, shein an yodim mahu. Similarly, if we find a child out in the marketplace, rachmana letzlan, if the child is just abandoned, in that circumstance, he's considered a gathered-in child, an asufi, because we have to treat him as a potential mamzer, since we don't know what his lineage is. Halacha Yud Dalet. If a woman who was unmarried had relations outside of the confines of marriage, and she claimed the child born from such a union was the child of a particular individual, if that individual is a regular member of Klal Yisrael, then indeed the child will also have that status as a regular member of Klal Yisrael, as we've already seen, she's believed. But she's not believed to establish this child as being the son of that individual who she pointed to. Now notes, though, that it appears to him that we have to at least be concerned for that which he said, and this son should be forbidden to the relatives of that man who she pointed to, out of doubt. However, if that individual who she claimed she had had this child from is a mamzer, so then she's not believed to establish this child as a mamzer with certainty. Rather, as the Rambam has already explained, the child will be a case of doubt that he's a mamzer. Halacha Tezvav. Avla av shehochsak shezeh b'no, v'amar b'ni zeh mamzeru, nema. However, if the father, who we've already established, we presume, is indeed the father of this child, says that this child is a mamzer, in that case the father is believed. V'miyesh la ben banim, eno neman. If the son already has children himself, though, then the father is not believed. Shelo hamino oso Torah el al b'no. Because the Torah only believed the father with regard to the child himself. Shneamar, the Pasuk says, he has a bechor ben asnu yakir, yakirenu la'achir. The Pasuk says that he will recognize the firstborn son of the wife that he prefers less. In that circumstance, he's able to make the identity known. That's what it means. He can recognize, that make the identity known to other people. Halacha Tezayin. U'gashem shneaman lomar b'ni zeh bechor, kach neaman lomar b'ni zeh mamzer, o ben grusha, o ben chalutza. Just as he's believed, which is the context of that pasuk just quoted, to say that this child is the firstborn, he's also believed to say that this child is a mamzer, or the son of a divorcee, or the son of a woman who had chalitza done to her. Similarly, if his wife is pregnant, the father is believed to say that this child, this fetus, is not for me. Rather, he's a mamzer. In that circumstance, father is believed, and the child will be a certain mamzer. If somebody claims about himself that he is a mamzer, so he's believed to make himself be forbidden to a regular member of Klal Yisrael. However, he's forbidden as well to have relations with a mamzeres until we know with certainty that he's actually a mamzer, other than his own words. And his son will be the same as him. If he has grandchildren, he's not believed to invalidate his grandchildren. He will only invalidate himself in that circumstance. Halacha Yud Zayin. Arusa Shem is Avra, Vahid Vesavia, Hariavlad, Vechazas Mamzer, Vaz Ravas Yisrael, Vaz Ramzeres. If a woman was betrothed and is still living in her father's home, and then she becomes pregnant, the child born is presumed to be a Mamzer, and is thus forbidden to marry a regular member of Klal Yisrael, but at the same time is also forbidden, since we don't know with certainty that they are Mamzer, also forbidden to marry a Mamzeres. However, if they investigate the matter and they ask the mother, and the mother claims, yes, I became pregnant from my betrothed, from the one who was the Arus, in that circumstance, she's believed, and the child will be a valid child, not a Mamzer. However, if the betrothed, this husband, denies it and says, no, I never had relations with her, the child is then considered a mamzer, because even if he was under the presumption of being his son, the father would have the ability, as we've already seen, to claim that his son is a mamzer. So even more so here. However, the woman does not earn for herself the qualification of being a zona, a particular type of promiscuous woman who is forbidden to marry a kohen. Rather, she is believed to claim that, no, it was from my arus that I had relations and sired this child, and she is not qualified as a zona, therefore. And accordingly, if she marries a kohen, she does not have to be forced to get divorced from him, and any child she has from him is a valid kohen. If people are all speaking about her, there are a lot of rumors going around, a lot of gossip around this woman, who is a betrothed woman, that she had slept with her betrothed, as well as with other men, even though the betrothed had relations with her. He admits to it, we know that he had relations with her while she was still living by her father. The child born is potentially a mamzer. Because just as she had allowed herself to be given up for having relations with her arus, she also likely did so with others. However, if the matter is investigated and she claims that it came from her arus, in that case, the child is considered to be a regular child. She's believed, as the Ram has already explained. If a woman who is married and now is pregnant claims that this fetus is not from her husband, she is not believed to invalidate the child. The child is under the presumption of being a valid child. Because the Torah only gave this added level of credibility to the father, not to the mother. If the father claims this is not my son, or if the husband was far away and therefore presumably is not the father, so that the child is under the presumption of being a mamzer. If the woman says, yes, it's not from my husband, but it was from a non-Jew or from a slave, that's where this pregnancy came from, so then the child is a valid child. Because the husband has no ability to deny that which he claims, he doesn't know with certainty. A fetus is not able to remain in the mother's womb for more than 12 months. If there is a woman who is married, who, again, this rumor begins to circulate that she had had relations with somebody other than her husband, and everyone's gossiping about this, nonetheless, we don't have to be concerned that her children are mamzerim, because most of the times that a woman, even a married woman who commits adultery, has relations, is with her husband, and therefore we assume the child had come from her husband. And it's permitted for this individual to marry her daughter, even ideally. But with regard to this woman herself, we have to consider her potentially as a zona, and therefore she is not allowed to marry a kohen. However, if it was very clear to everyone that she was acting in a super immoral way, then in that case we'll also be concerned about her children. On a Torah level, one who is in a case of doubt as being a mamzer, they are permitted to marry into the regular Jewish community. Shemar's Basuk says, Lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem, mamzer v'adai asur lavo b'kal lo safi. The Basuk says that a mamzer is not supposed to enter the community of God. That implies one who we know for sure is a mamzer, and not one who is only a case of doubt. Avacham asu ma'il v'yuchsin v'asur gam sveikos lavo b'kal. However, Chazal saw fit to create an extra level of stringency regarding lineage, and they forbade even somebody who was potentially a mamzer to join the Jewish community. Lefikach mamzer vaday mutter lisa mamzeres vadas. A mamzer safek o shtuki o asufi aser lisa basra. Accordingly, a mamzer who is a certain mamzer is allowed to marry a certain mamzeres. But if it is a mamzer out of doubt, or a shtuki or a sufi as defined above, they are forbidden to marry a regular member of Klai Yisrael. Hachav beis. V'asher lisa mamzeres. And similarly, they're also forbidden to marry a mamzeres. V'afil mamzeres misafek. Even one who is a case of doubt as being a mamzeres. Asur lo. They're forbidden to him. Shema echa mehen eno mamzer v'asheni mamzer v'adai. Because maybe one of these two people is not really a mamzer, and the other one is certainly a mamzer. However, a mamzer on a rabbinic level, as defined above as well, is permitted to marry a mamzer on a rabbinic level. And so too, any other case of doubt, it is forbidden for them to marry one another, because maybe one of them is indeed forbidden, and one of them is not. The Rambam is now going to illustrate this more. Ketzad. Shtukim v'asufim usfeik mamzerim, asurim lavo zem ze, vim nasu lo ikaimu, el yotziu begeh, v'avlad zavei kabosa. If somebody is a shtuki or a sufi, or somebody whose status as a mamzer is unclear, so then they are all forbidden to marry one another, and if they do indeed get married, we insist that they get divorced by giving over a get, and any child born from them has a case of doubt regarding their lineage, just like their parents. Ve'en l'sfeikos elu takana, el shi'isu menager v'avlad holeich achar apagam. And there's really no option for these individuals to get married, other than to marry somebody who is a convert, and then the child will also follow their same blemished status. L'chaf dalet. Ketza, I'm going to now clarify that further. Shtuki o asufi shenasek yores, o meshachurares, o ger o meshachurares, shenasek shtukes o asufes, havlad shtuki o asufi. If either the man or the woman is a shtuki or a sufi, and they married a ger, a convert, or a freed slave, in that circumstance the child will follow after the status which is the lesser status, which is either a shtuki or a sufi. Halachachav hei. Hasufi shenimsa b'ir sheish ba obi kuchavim. Bein shayah rov obi kuchavim, o rov yisraelim. If somebody is an Asufi, again, that's an abandoned child found out in the marketplace, and they were found in a city that has non-Jews living within it, whether they are the majority or whether the Jews are the majority, nonetheless, this child, this Asufi, is going to be considered potentially a non-Jew with regard to lineage. Kiddush Isha, Tzricha Get Misafik. Therefore, if he betroths a woman, he must give her a get out of doubt. Misha Harago, Lo Haya Neragalav. And if somebody kills him, since this child might have potentially been a non-Jew, though it is forbidden to kill a non-Jew, one does not receive capital punishment for doing so, and therefore such an individual would not be killed himself. If the Beis Din had him immersed for the sake of being a convert, or he had done so on his own after he became an adult, in that circumstance he is just like any other Asufi found amongst the cities of the Bnei Yisrael. If most of the city, however, was non-Jewish, then in that case it's permitted to feed this child non-kosher food. If most of them were Jewish, however, then we return any lost object of his just like we would for a Jew. If it's 50-50, so then there still is a positive command to help assist him with his livelihood and staying alive, as there would be for a regular Jewish man. And we will even uncover a pile of stones, a ruin that might have collapsed upon him on Shabbos. And with regards to damages, he's just like any other circumstance where it's doubtful whether the money is owed, at which point, if somebody wants to claim money from him, the general golden rule is that the burden of proof is upon him. Halachav Zayin. Yira li shekol medina sheish ba shifcha o obi chavim haru'ya lele hoel ba sufi animsa sham safek obi chavim o safek eved. The Rambam now said that it appears to him that whenever there is a non-Jewish woman or maidservant who is able to give birth in a city, since the Asufi that was found potentially might be a non-Jew or a slave, we have to give him that status. So then if he marries a woman who had converted to Judaism, as the Rambam has already explained, so now it's uncertain whether or not his wife is considered a married woman. And therefore, if somebody commits adultery with her, then we will not kill that individual out of doubt because she might not really have been married on a Torah level. Similarly, the Rambam says it appears to him that if a shtuki marries a woman who might have been forbidden to him as an Erva. So that in that case, there's also doubt whether or not she's a married woman, because if she was an Erva, she's not actually married to him. If she wasn't an Erva, then she is really married to him. And therefore, the same halachas will apply, because since you can't marry somebody who is an Erva, so it's possible that this individual who, quote-unquote, committed adultery with her should not be killed because they weren't actually married. Now, what do we mean by a woman who might be an Erva to him? Kol isha shaya avia o achia kayam kishnis abra bo imo. V'chol isha shenis garsho nis almana shema ishis avivhi o ishis achiav. So, what do we mean by this? It's any woman whose father or brother was alive when his mother had become pregnant, or any woman who had been divorced or widowed, because it's possible that she's his father's wife, or the wife of his father's brother. Halach Rav Tes. U'minayani omer she'ena shtuki basufi asur v'chol isha she'efter shetia erva alav. And where does the Rambam know that a shtuki or a sufi is not forbidden to marry any woman who might be an erva to him? Sh'ariya kasher she'nivdika imo eino asur v'chol isha she'efter shetia erva alav. Because a regular person whose mother had been investigated, we asked her what was the status of this child, and he qualified as a regular member of Klal Yisrael, they're not forbidden to any woman who might be an heir to him. The Torah says, Al techalas b'tchalas nosa. Don't allow your daughter to become desecrated, to have her act in an inappropriate manner. And our sages said that if this were to occur, if people were to allow their daughter to act as a harlot and earn money on behalf of her having relations with whoever, so the sages said, this is a big problem, because it will turn out that a father will marry his daughter, and a brother will marry his sister. If the case were that a person who doesn't know who his father is with certainty is forbidden to have relations with any woman, because it's possible that she's an heir to him, well then, we would never have gotten into this situation, which Chazal were worried about, where the whole world will fill up with licentiousness. Halamata, so we see what emerges from here is, she'ein osrin arayos machzikin osan b'sher b'asar b'safek ashivad avadai shezu erva alav. We see that we don't forbid somebody as potentially being an erva and presume that they are relatives who are forbidden one to the other until we know with certainty that that is the case. Shemata Omar Kane, Kolai Somam Shavolam, Shalohe Kira Voseyam, Hayo Asurinli Nasim, Bechol Makom, Shemayifku Be'erva. Because if you were to say so, then any orphan in the whole world who didn't know who their parents were, they would be forbidden to marry somebody anywhere else because of the fact that maybe they'll bump into somebody who is an heir to them. Halach Alamed. Havla Shayam Mushlach Baderach, Uba Echad Ba'amar Bnihu, Vani Heshlachtiv, Nem. If a child had been abandoned on the road, unfortunately, and then afterwards somebody comes along and says, yes, this is my child, I had abandoned him, they are believed. And the same thing is true as well. If it's the mother who comes along, however, if the child had already been brought in from the marketplace into somebody's home, and then along come the father and mother afterwards and claim that, oh, this is our son, then they are not believed, since they already have earned for themselves the status of a Sufi. However, if it is a time of famine, and their words are believed, because of the fact that we think they had just abandoned the child out of desperation, they were starving, they had no food to provide the child with, they were hoping somebody else would gather them in and support them, and that's why they waited until the child had been gathered in before they said anything. Halach Lamed Aleph. Nimsa Avlad Mahu, Osha Huchsal, O Shahumlach, O Shah Kochal Beinav, O Kamei Mitzavaro, O Shanim Zatachas Ilan, Mesubach, She'en Chai Nechneseslo, Vayasamach Lir, O Shanim Zatbezak Neses, Samach Lir Shisarabim, O Batide Yer Shisarabim, Ein Kam Yishamasufi. If the child was found to have a bris mila, or they were bundled up, or were properly taken care of in the way they used to take care of children in those old days, such as by putting salt on them, or painting some sort of eye paint on their eyes, or with an amulet placed around his neck, or was placed under a tree which was set in such a way that an animal couldn't enter it and it was close to the city, or was found in the shul near the public domain or on the side of the public domain. So then, in that case, the child is not considered an asufi. Once they were guarding the child, they were trying to protect him so he did not die. In that case, we can assume that the child had proper lineage. Aval imdin some mushloch beemsa derech o rachuk min ha'ir afilu tachas ilan o beveit ha'kneses o shenimsa talib ilan makum she'achayim agaslo harei ze asufi. If, however, unfortunately, the child is found in the midst of the road or far away from a city, or even if it's under a tree in the way we just described, but in that way where an animal could access him, even if it was in a shul, in that circumstance, the child must be assumed to be an asufi. Halacha lamedbeis. Ne'emenes chaya lomar ze'a bein kohenu, o lady, o nasin, o mamzer, ne'e shelo helchsak ve'ein anu yodin yichutzan. A midwife is believed when she says that this child is a kohen, a levi, a nasin, a mamzer, because at this point, the child's status has not been established. We don't know their lineage. When is that true? This is if we trust this midwife, and nobody has ever complained about something she said in the past. If, however, somebody, even one person in the past, had denied her credibility and said that she had testified falsely, so then she is no longer trusted, and the child born will be presumed to be a valid child, but does not have any particular lineage. He's not going to be a kohen or a lady, for example. Halacha lamed gimel, the final halacha in the parak. Davar bar shestugi aser lisa shtukes. It's absolutely certain that somebody who is a shtuki is forbidden to have relations with a shtukes. Vasufi aser vasufes. And similarly, an asufi is forbidden to marry an asufes. Because in these cases, they're all a case of doubt. And maybe one of them is allowed and one of them is not. One of them is a mamzer, one of them is not. So therefore, we can't actually allow them to get married. However, people that are for sure mamzerim or nesinim, they are allowed to marry one another. Mamzer can marry a nesin, nesin can marry a mamzer, and the child born will be a mamzer. Ushtuki vasufi mutarim nesinim ushar gerim vavlad zavik. And somebody who's a shtuki or a sufi is allowed to marry a nesin or any other convert, and the child born is still considered a mamzer potentially, just like their a sufi or shtuki parent had been. Have a wonderful day.